there's a saying that seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. Have you heard that before? Seeing is believing. Something is only true when we see it with our own eyes. Or when we witness something out of the ordinary. And you know, once we see something really exciting has happened and we try to explain to someone, but words just can't fill in the picture of what we've experienced. And we end up saying, well, you need to see it to believe it. You needed to be there to experience it and witness it. But what we find in Hebrews is that that's turned upside down. And we're told that believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. See, faith is not wishful thinking or a vague feeling that, you know, things will work out. It's actually anchored in the confidence of God, who has already acted in history, most clearly in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so faith, it doesn't mean shutting our eyes to the reality around us. It means opening our eyes to the deeper reality, that reality that's shaped by the cross and the empty tomb, one that sees the faithfulness of God in history as we hear through Scripture. So faith is grounded in the faithfulness of God, not in how we feel, not in how good we think we are or how strong our faith might be. But that always is more subjective. Rather, faith is grounded in objective truth. It's grounded in history, the testimonies of what's been passed down to us. Let me pray. Loving Father, as we gather around your word here this morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts to transform us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. May the words that I bring here to your people, Lord, may they be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So when you hear the word faith, what thoughts come to your mind? When you hear the word faith, what thoughts come to mind? You don't have to answer, just putting it out there.
Trust.
Confidence. What was that, Sophie? Believing. You know, for some people, when we talk about faith, it means to have this blind optimism. Just crossing your fingers and just hoping for the best. No, the Bible says to us, faith is confidence. Not confidence in ourselves or in luck, but confidence in God's character. Having assured confidence that God is faithful to his promises. Now see, the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament, it was written to the first and second generation followers of Christ. And they were facing social pressures and persecution because of their faith in Jesus at different levels. And these people were becoming weary in their faith, just becoming tired. And they were tempted to give up, to walk away. Now, we may feel that way too at times. There'll be times where it's easier not to live out our faith, to not be a Christian. But what the writer to the Hebrews says is, hold fast to Jesus. Don't give up, because Jesus is better than anything that came before him. In fact, everything points to him. And those people in the past, the people that you know speaking to the Hebrews, the people that we know through the Old Testament, the stories that you treasure, the stories you grow up with, they are people who trusted in God's promises, even when they couldn't see them fulfilled. And what that means for them, the Hebrew, the one receiving the letter back then, and that what that means for us today is that we can trust in the God who keeps his promises, even when the outcome is unknown, when the future looks bleak. Faith is a foundation for things being hoped for, proof for things we do not see. Another way to understand verse 1. And see, at the most basic level of what is being written here. We are commended because we trust that God created the universe from unseen things. The unseen power of God brought everything into existence. And Paul picks up on that where he talks about the unseen power raised Jesus from the dead too, which links into our faith as well. Just think about that. The resurrection is the greatest example in history of something we couldn't see coming until it happened. We went there to watch the stone roll away. We didn't see Jesus walk out of the tomb, but the eyewitnesses saw the resurrected Jesus. And the testimony is written down for us. We believe, and through believing, we see Jesus. Just like those young ones were holding the cross. They knew it was a cross. They knew it was Jesus without seeing it. Maybe we can think of the wind. You can't see it directly, but you can see trees bending. You hear the leaves rustle. You can feel it on your face. Or here in the Riverland, we see the dust particles floating through the air. The unseen is real, and it moves the visible. Leads me to ask, are we focusing solely on what we can see? On the visible things like the numbers in our bank account, results on medical charts, headlines in the news or social media? Or are we holding on to what God has promised, grounded in the good news of Christ? It's a big question for us to ask ourselves every day, really. Do you remember the days when you used to use a street directory and you held it on your steering wheel as you drove around the city? And some of you might be old enough to actually know that, but you'd have your UBD and you'd be sort of trying to navigate, especially if you're by yourself, unless you had someone next to you trying to tell you which way to go and they're not sure which way to hold the map up. Or you try to remember the streets and recount it as you're driving through the city, you end up getting lost pulling over somewhere to check the map again. But then how great was it when GPS and in-car navigation systems came about and tell you how to get to your destination? I share that because what we hear in Hebrews is that Abraham had none of those things. It said by faith Abraham went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham left his homeland, he left his culture, he left his security. No GPS, no detailed itinerary, just a promise from God. That was enough. He lived in tents, temporary, fragile, uncomfortable, because he was looking forward to something more permanent. A city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Faith steps into that unknown. Faith steps into the unknown. Because we have a God who is known. Faith trusts and obeys before it has all the details. It says, Lord, I don't know the whole plan, but I know you, and that's enough. Where might God be calling you to take a step without knowing all the answers? What sort of step? One that serves him, that bears good fruit, that brings glory to his name. Where might God be calling you to take a step without knowing all the answers? Because what we discover in this Hebrews passage is that God can work beyond human limitations. Look at the example of Abraham and Sarah. Sarah's body was past the age of childbearing. Abraham was as good as dead. That's what the Bible says. It's pretty blunt. And yet God promised and they believed. Now, faith doesn't deny the facts. It doesn't say, I'm not old or this isn't happening. It realizes what's going on, but it also says, I will trust in God's promise. Just how difficult that was for Sarah in the Old Testament. And if you're not familiar, it's in the first, like, from pretty much Genesis chapter 12 right through to 21, we have the story of Abraham and Sarah and the ups and downs in their journey of of trusting in God's promise. When Sarah's told she's going to have a child, well, she thought it was the world's biggest joke. A candid camera type moment, a bit of a stitch up. But what happens? She has a son, Isaac. The promise is fulfilled, and Genesis 21 says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised." You know, Isaac means laughter, and she said, continues on here, "God brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." It's not that God's promises are a joke, but rather celebrating what God is able to do, the miracle. I'm sure she felt like her life was at the end of the road. And there are times when we can feel at the end of the road, and it seems that all hope is lost. We can remember that Sarah was old, Abraham was old, their bodies were past the age of children, yet God promised and they believed. That's not about old people having kids, and that's not what we're necessarily talking about here. That was the promise for Abraham and Sarah. But this was about the promise being fulfilled that ended up with Christ from this family line. God remained faithful in his promise, ultimately in Jesus, through Abraham and Sarah. Sometimes that can be a long journey, a long time of waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled, to see the blessing, to see the outcome of patiently waiting. When I was in Spain, we saw many cathedrals, and one of the most spectacular was the one in Barcelona, Sangria Familia. It's a spectacular cathedral, but some of the older ones in other towns, they were just as beautiful. I share this one because originally plans were drawn up for this in the 1800s by an architect named Gaudí. Gaudí drew up the plans, laid the foundations, and oversaw the start of the building in 1882. But then he died, around about 1925, I think. Someone else took on the project. Another architect studied those original plans and tried to understand Gaudí's heart, what he was trying to do. Another architect took over, continued the building, the designing, making sure it was coming to fruition. Lots of builders involved and other professionals, different generations, different skills, different technology. You know, the building's still under construction. It's nearly complete. It's meant to be finished next year. We'll see how that goes. But that's 1882 to 2026. It's a long time to build a cathedral. However, when you walk inside and you see the sunlight stream through the stained glass windows, you marvel not only at the skill of the builder, but the vision of the one who designed the building. Gaudí never got to see what his vision would come to be. And in many ways, the heroes of faith, if we call them that, in Hebrews 11, they're like Gaudí. They caught a glimpse of what God was building. They laid stones of obedience and trust, but they never saw the full completion. That's because the finished masterpiece would only come with Christ, with his death and his resurrection, the salvation that he brings. And see, the heroes in Hebrews 11, they admitted that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. They weren't looking for comfort here. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And we hope for that too, that better country. It's not a vague dream. It's guaranteed by Jesus Christ, who said, "I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me." It's from John 14. So faith doesn't just look to the future hoping that things will work out. It looks to the risen Christ, who is already seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us now, and who will make all things new. And for us, I think an example is like when you watch these World War II movies and dramas, often the soldiers have a photo of a loved one or their family they carry around in their pocket. Gives them hope. They talk about their family, their homeland with others. the dream of returning. And faith is like carrying a picture of the future God has promised, a new creation where every tear is wiped away, and letting that vision guide us today. And we carry Christ. We carry Christ with us. We carry that promise that, yes, I'm a baptized child of God. I'm covered in the faithfulness of Christ and the faith that he's given me. Faith that my sins are forgiven because he died for me. So we have all these examples of faith. But it doesn't stop there, because in Hebrews 12, which we'll explore later on in this series, the writer says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, Jesus, he's not another name in this list of biblical heroes who trusted in God. He's the centerpiece, and all others were looking toward him. Abraham looked for a city. Jesus is the builder of that city. Sarah trusted God for life from the dead. Jesus is the resurrection of life. The faithful long for a better country. Jesus is the king of that country. So remember, our faith, that doesn't save us. Christ saves us. It's the faithfulness of Christ and what he did, and trusting in that, that saves us. So whether we feel strong in our faith or weak in our faith, it doesn't change how God feels about us. We still have a saving faith. Faith is simply the empty hands that receive what Christ has already done. So faith, it's not a blind leap into the dark. It's a confident step into the light of God's promises, secure in Jesus Christ. So faith sees the unseeable because Jesus is alive. Faith steps into the unknown because Jesus has gone before us. Faith trusts God beyond limits because the resurrection proves his power. And faith longs for a better country because Jesus has promised to bring us home. And so today, my friends, let us fix our eyes on him, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Let us live every moment in the light of his death and resurrection. Some questions for you to take away with you today. Where are you only seeing the visible? Maybe ask God to help you see your life through the lens of Jesus' resurrection. Where are you afraid to step into the unknown? Remember that Jesus has gone ahead of you, even into death. Where have you hit a human limit? Resurrection declares that God's power begins where ours ends. What country are you living for? Are you investing only in this life, or are you living as citizens of the kingdom to come? We can ask these questions as children of God, secure in the love of Christ Jesus through his death and resurrection. And may the peace of God, which passes understanding, may guide your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.